Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park, taking you all the way up to the game. It is Monday at 4 o'clock, which means we are joined by the man of the hour, a living legend. If there is one piece of analysis you hear this week, it is from this guy. Donovan McNabb joins us right now. What's up, Donovan?
You're getting a whole lot better. I tell you, see, it's the progression as the season continues on. I got to tell you, that was interesting.
Well, you've trained me well, and I respond well to coaching, so here we are. Well,
I appreciate
Donovan,
your efforts. Yes, of course.
Just big picture, watching that game yesterday, what was your big picture takeaway from that game from a Philadelphia Eagles perspective?
Everything that we got away with leading up to this point is now hit the wall. And when you're inconsistent offensively and then defensively as the bend but don't break kind of mentality starts to unfold, we see what actually probably should have transpired about 3 weeks ago, possibly four. But we got to this point at this right now, and I think now it's kind of the get to the basics mentality that has to be put on the table for this offense and for this football team.
So, we have seen stretches where the offense has looked good, and we have also seen stretches where the offense has looked whatever the opposite, horrible. I guess my biggest question is, why are they not able to string together one full game where the offense is consistently moving the ball? Why is it so start and stop with their ability to do that?
Well, there's a few things. Number one, that there's no balance. There's no balance with this offense. There's no consistency in the play action game. I don't see an effectiveness in our screen game if we do decide to run the screen game. And then as I've talked about many a times, when I'm seeing a lot of teams playing us in just zone coverages, not a lot of man, even though Tampa played us in some man sometimes, but when they're playing a zone, we don't have the zone answers. And for me, when I watch these receivers and the timing of the passing game, I begin, one, to think of the lack of creativity, two, the lack of effective route running, and then three, when we do get explosive plays, that we kind of just don't go back to any more explosive type of a play calling. To me, it's so methodical. Three, it's basic. And then when you kind of look at the grand scheme of things, because I know a lot of people look at the stats as it's over, then people will begin to look at the fact that we didn't really run the football to set up anything. And so that's where the creativity comes from for me, is because when you run the football, you're establishing yourself as we're going to run downhill. You're playing zone. You probably got four, five, six in the box. We can run versus that. So now that forces you to go with seven-man boxes, where the play-action game starts to unfold, and now we're attacking the mid parts of the through downfield, and I just don't see that.
They saw something yesterday, Five, that they decided they wanted to throw the ball. You know, Jalen, 38 passes. I have no problem with it. They hit on some explosive plays.
Me neither.
Yeah,
right.
they hit on some explosive plays, so that was great to see. But how much of some of the ineffectiveness, not only in the passing game at times, because we also gave up six sacks, but in the running game, our offensive line certainly is not playing at the level.
It's not the same offensive line. Yeah. It's not the same offensive line as last year.
Right. They certainly aren't playing at that level, like, right?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because we can talk so much of the skill positions and what we don't see and the lack of production or consistency in the passing game, but it all starts up front. And right now, it's not the same as we've seen over the last couple of years. Is it because of old age? Is it because of injury? Guys are coming back. We're putting new guys in different positions. I don't know what it is, but that continuity has to increase and get better as we go along in the season. But it starts up front. And, you know, even with the six runs that we did have with Saquon, those weren't good runs. And holes weren't open.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, yes, when you start calling runs, you're starting to wear down the defense. And we got to give credit to the Denver Broncos. Their defense is solid. Mm-hmm. Their defense has been one of the best defenses in the league leading up until this point. But we were able to establish what we wanted in the passing game. It just wasn't consistent enough. And when I watch the timing of it all, it just seems like it's just a little off.
So you talked about teams going to sort of a zone defense, which Denver did more in the second half. Tampa did more in the second half. We look flummoxed there. So what is the general? It's not the first time a team's played zone defense in the NFL. So
no, it's not.
What is the answer there? What is it that they have to do better to attack that sort of thing that they're not doing?
Well, it's different concepts that you see, and everyone highlights the pass to A.J. Brown that we missed on, that people say, we overthrew him. That was an awful route. And the concept in which I've seen, there was a stop route by the outside receivers. It looked like it might have been at about 10 to 12 yards. We had a basic cross route, which is just a 10-yard route where, you know, the tight end or the slot receiver runs behind the linebackers, and then the route in which A.J. Brown ran, where it kind of, I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a corner post or a stutter go, he got pushed inside. And so as a receiver, and we're running a double move, you got to stay on your stem where you're not pushed all the way into that inside linebacker, and then make your move on the safety, which when he came out of the route, he came out as if he wasn't getting the ball. He slowed down.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much stopped. And then he looked back, and he seen the ball in the air, and he tried to accelerate, which you just threw off the timing of the route. Mm-hmm. Where in my eyes, I look at it in as a now coach and also a play, to me, that looked like more of a two-high, one-high read, where if you get cover three, that's what you look at down the seam to be able to hit that. And if that safety drops, then you just throw the stop route, which outside. To me, he took a shot, and A.J. slowed down off of the stutter, which we know when on double moves, you're going into it faster than you come out of it, but you can't come out jogging as if you're not getting the ball. Because he knew the timing was off because he got pushed inside, then he had to climb back on his stem to get to that safety to stutter, and then he had to make a move on the stutter, which in my eyes, that's when as a quarterback, you take your eyes off of it and go to your number two or three read.
Now, he was asked after the game as to, you know, after that play, did he and Jalen sort of discuss what they saw on that play? And
he said no.
He said no. So I'm asking you, how odd is that? You're a quarterback. You normally talk to the wideout when you come back to the sideline.
I got to expect you to go there. But I see.
Well, you're a quarterback. I got to ask you.
Yeah. You know, receivers ain't coming to the quarterback and asking nothing. You know that, and he said exactly what I expected him to say. Mm-hmm. But as we all know, as former players, and we all see it now as as watchers and analysts, you would think he would go to his quarterback and say, hey, man, you know, what did you see? Or that's my bad. Mm-hmm. Nah, none of that happened. And we know that don't happen. And so,
let me ask you this. Because some would say, well, the quarterback also has that responsibility to go and see what his receiver was thinking or what happened on that play. I didn't see Jalen.
Not unless he's tired of the antics.
Okay. Okay.
So to me, when I look at it now, because everybody has seen this over the last few weeks, and then I'm sure this is something that's been going on the last couple of years, because I've seen it. When are the coaches going to get involved and be able to call it to the table of, hey, man, you got to come out of this route, or you got to run a better route. You got to be able to help your quarterback, or you got to be able to create some separation, which I don't see much separation when it comes to a lot of our route running. Do you, Ike?
No. Well, and so what did I say?
Remember what I said last week? Who's the best route runner on the team?
Devontae.
You see separation with Devontae, right?
Yeah.
Well,
Again, when you look at just the way the routes that have been run by a lot of our other players, A.J. Brown is a big, solid guy. He's got great size. We run him on slant routes. We run him on stop routes at 8 to 10 yards. We might run him on a double move. We don't really run him on just straight goals no more. Like, he's got to make a double move. I would put him in the slot, and I would have him running basic cross or some deep overs over at 18 to 25. I'll run him on shallow crosses. You know, I'll put him in the 3-by-1 set where now we're getting 2-on-1 versus the safety where he has to make a decision and run some different routes. I just don't see that, you know, with this offensive scheme.
Donovan, so they turn around. They play Thursday night against the Giants. After a loss like that, Is it a blessing to be able to get to play sooner, or is it worse because you don't have more time to sort of work on what went wrong on Sunday?
Well, you got to have short-term memory in this league. And despite what may have happened, if you come out and you play great or you struggle, you got to watch the film and be very critical of yourself to come back out the next day of practice, which for them, I'm sure they're doing something right now, which usually on Monday you don't, but I'm sure mentally – you could be in front of that TV and watching film. And then if they had a little walkthrough or whatever, then you try to get things cleaned up. I think the recipe for where they are or the way things have been going, the best thing for them right now is to be able to play Thursday night. And then also to play against a Giants team that's really trying to figure themselves out. So this could be a game in which all of a sudden now we have one of those explosion type of days on Thursday night, and then everybody thinking it'll be answered, but it won't. There's no consistency in it. And so what do I expect to see on Thursday night? I expect to see a lot more Saquon, a lot more A.J. Dillon, a lot more of the intermediate passing game, and then to take about 4 to 5 shots in this game, which if we complete 2 or 3 of them, then now we're talking about more of a balanced type of offense where we're probably coming out with about 500 and some total yards of offense.
All right, Donovan.
It's been bad the last couple of weeks. And I add to it because the last couple of weeks we've talked about it. I mean, when you have just barely over 100 yards passing in one game, another one it took a second half for us to kind of get going, and then all of a sudden statistically it looked great. But it hasn't been where it needed to been, for a long time.
Yeah,
and so
when you just watch
everybody's got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, if you put the numbers aside, if you just watch it, you can tell that there's just – There doesn't seem to be any rhythm, a consistent rhythm to the offense where they're moving the ball consistently in a game
Correct.
In the same way, you know? So, all right,
Correct.
Donovan, appreciate it as always, and hopefully we're talking to you after a win next time.
All right, bro.
Sounds like a plan. Come on now.
All right, Donovan. The open thing is interesting. So they...
Well, you can tell he played quarterback.
Oh, yeah, yes. And I appreciate you asking him about the AJ stuff. Someone had to.
Somebody
had to be you.
I mean, listen, yes.
Yeah.
He was waiting on it.
So they chart how open guys are in the NFL. So I was looking at it this morning. So of the 89 wide receivers who have played enough, Devontae Smith is ranked 19th in terms of how open he is. So AJ is ranked 80th. So
out of 89?
Out of 89. Now, but here's what's interesting. Egbuka, the rookie on Tampa, he's so here's what's interesting. He's 87th.
Really?
And I that is one thing where I think the quarterback comes into play. Because for better or for worse, Baker Mayfield is far more willing to throw into tight windows.
Yeah, they're gonna get you those shots.
You know, and it's making a difference. Now, how sustainable that is, I don't know. And I didn't look at last year because, you know, AJ's never been a guy who is breaking away
before a lot of separation.
So I don't know how much different that is this year compared to other years.
Right.
But it does show, at least in terms of how comfortable Jalen's going to be, why he might be more comfortable throwing the ball to Devontae at this point now, who has not had a big year either, but Devontae as opposed to AJ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here's the other thing, and this could be happening subconsciously. You know, Donovan sort of mentioned it. We were sort of talking over each other at that time in the middle of him laughing at the question I'm suggesting or I'm asking him. But I don't know if we really heard him, but when I said the quarterback should go talk to AJ too, that's part of his responsibility. And Five sort of said, well, he's tired of the antics.
Yeah. It would be hard to blame him.
I say that to say subconsciously Jalen may be feeling a certain way about all of this.
Well, because as you said last week, all this stuff ends up focusing on him.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That when AJ says these things, we could talk about Nick, we could talk about Petullo, but we all know there's something there.
Well, if it was play design, and he was upset when he would say that. Yeah. He would say that.
Yeah. He actually goes out of his way to say that
it's not.
It's not that. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
So the weekend started off with the boys letting us down. Very upsetting. 6-0 loss.
Oh, the Pee Wee football Phillies team?
Yeah. It's high school, man.
Oh, my bad.
And then to our birds, like, I don't know, man. Were we getting a little Donovan worm in there with the going after number one wide receiver?
Well, let's make no doubt about it that Five has a inherent sort of protection on quarterbacks. Like, that's what he's going to do. And if there's ever a hint of an unhappy receiver with his quarterback, you shouldn't be surprised which way he's leaning to defend. So the guy went through this with an all-time great, and quite frankly, when they got rid of the all-time great, people resented the fact they got rid of the all-time great, and Donovan caught some of that.
Well, and
I mean, am I lying?
No. He
caught some of the resentment of the team getting rid of T.O.
And it would be hard as a fan. You can be critical of Jalen's play, but in this whole thing, it would be very hard to take, at this point, maybe last year, to take AJ's side on how this has been handled publicly. It would be really hard. If you're Donovan, you could even say, look, if I'm AJ Brown, I understand why I'm frustrated.
Right.
But it is hard to take AJ, even if you love AJ, which many of us do, it's hard to side with him on this particular part of it.
Yeah, I don't even know what to side with him on.
Yeah.
It's 'cause if you're putting this in front of the team, I don't know why anybody in their right mind would be in favor of that. We kill guys about being selfish all the time in this city. We praise the guys that are unselfish, that's willing to be team guys. And while a team is winning and you're not happy because you're not as involved as you want, yeah, we can understand that to a degree. But if the team and winning is ultimately what you're putting first, then this stuff will get handled behind closed doors. This stuff wouldn't be brought to the forefront for it to be a media circus and storm created around the team that could be a distraction. That's the part where I think AJ is losing people. I believe me, over the last few weeks, I've run into a lot of people like, man, what is wrong with AJ Brown?
Yes.
Why is he never happy?
Stop it.
Yes, yeah. I've run into a lot of people that have said that. And this is a guy who this city loves and crave to have. But when you do this and put it in front of the team, you start to rub people the wrong way.
I thought Seth Joyner this morning made a good point on WIP. He said, just think about it in real general terms. Last week, it's in the middle of the week, the Eagles are 4-0, and we're still talking about A.J. Brown touches.
Yep.
And that is not because we are talking about the touches. It is because he has,
yes,
even more than we would normally be talking about it, he has put it front and center.
Yes.
On a team that's 4-0.
Yes.
Just look at it. Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
The other guy on the opposite side of the ball, he wasn't getting touches either, and never heard a peep out of him.
Devontae.
And believe me, he wasn't happy either.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but like you said, you never heard a peep out of him.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't happy my son was only getting 1 to 2 seconds to throw the ball, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let's burn the boats. Let's go get him tonight. I want to see back-to-back-to-back so Chuck doesn't have anything to say tomorrow.
Yeah. Trey,
and
Schwarber, and
1, 2, 3 yep. home runs, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
I tell you, Devontae, playing at Alabama, this really does benefit in situations like this. Devontae was on the team with Jerry Jeudy.
When there's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, there's plenty of five-star recruits everywhere. He didn't come there as the highly touted guy. He worked his way into being Devontae Smith when there were plenty of other receivers there. And other receivers had to eat. And he waited his turn, became a Heisman Trophy winner, caught the big touchdown from Tua in the national championship game. And even being here, coming here as the number one pick, and setting a rookie record, and they go out and get A.J. Brown, he didn't have a problem taking a back seat to A.J. Brown, even though he was a higher draft pick, even though he
was here first.
He was here first. He was more accomplished as a college player. Like, Devontae, that personality is sort of what you want out of those types of wide receivers that are that talented.
And Jack.
Take a special person to be able to take a back seat.
Yeah, Jack, I was here before you.
Would you quit making everything about you?
I don't know if you remember, but I hired you.
And I didn't mean that for Spike. I meant for Fritz.
Jack, yes. Yeah. He just started. Jack was going, yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Ah, similarities between me and Devontae.
215-592-9494. We will start ramping up.
It's actually why Devontae is starting to become the more beloved receiver.
Yes, because he's
low maintenance.
Yep.
Just low maintenance and it just produces when you're throwing the ball.
We will start talking in earnest a little Phils coming
up next.
Let's go Fightins. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The question is, will the Phillies win tonight? Now, Ike, I know you are predicting a win tonight, of course. What do you think?
That's a lock of the century.
What do you think? Try to go back through all the old podcasts. Try to find Ike predicting a loss. What do you think the poll is at? Yes or no?
This fan base, man.
They're a little shaken.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's going to be close to 50-50, either one way or the other. I'll go with 58% believe we'll win tonight.
Look at that. 57.9. He nailed it.
57.9.
Yes.
Wow.
He nailed it.
So, like it.
So we're here. Jackie Baseball, I do see a good number of Dodgers t-shirts here.
Really?
Not huge, but, yeah. You know, it's pretty far away to see Dodgers t-shirts.
Saw them Saturday, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, saw them Saturday.
So, Jack, we know you're a big Phillies fan. Also, you get a little tight occasionally. Down 1-0.
There's been accusations.
Yeah, down 1-0, you know. Where are we at?
So, of course, now the game's getting closer. The knot's in the stomach. And, like, this is bound to happen. Yeah. I think I've been beyond confident all day. And, like, how I currently feel, and I mean this in, like, the nicest way possible, I promise, I need Phillies fans to stop being such front-running losers right now, because that's how they're acting.
That's what I'm talking about.
Heading into this. Like, oh, my God, we lost a freaking game on Saturday. Yes. Doesn't mean the season's over.
Yes.
And this team has bounced back every single time. We've said, there it is. That's the moment they're done. They're done. They're done. They're done. You shout it from the rooftops, and all these guys are losers, and you can never win with them, and Rob Thompson sucks. And all they've done every single time this year has bounced back. I had a weird feeling heading into game one that it wasn't going to go their way. I feel the exact opposite. I think Lazardo's going to go out there and do his thing. I love the way he pitches in front of this crowd. I think he's ready for this moment. He's pitched relatively well against the Dodgers so far this season. Blake Snell on the road, his ERA is 4.3. The Phillies have to get in his head. I think he can crumble, but that's also on the fans. I know tonight there's going to be a tightness if things aren't going well early. I understand that. But I felt like last game, I thought the crowd was mostly into it, but also I didn't think they were on Shohei enough. I felt like he was expecting worse, and I feel like the fans kind of let him off the hook. I know it's nerve-wracking, and I'm nervous. Everyone's nervous. You don't want it to be tight. You want it to come out and score 8. Very unlikely for that to happen. But I need this fan base and this crowd coming tonight expecting to win a ball game and not have this doomsday doomer, oh my gosh, we're waiting for the sky to fall kind of mentality. Every single time we've done that with this team this year, they have responded, and I'm confident in their ability to do it again. If they fold tonight, if they lay down, if they don't have the right effort, they deserve to get absolutely crucified. Everything's on the table, from not re-signing Schwarber to letting Rob Thompson go. It is a real friction point for this franchise. But I have a lot of confidence that this team is going to find it within themselves to go out and take a win tonight. It's not over. It's Phils in 5. You take the game tonight. You split in L.A. And I'll see everyone back here next Saturday night for a game 5.
There he is.
I love it.
There he is.
I love it.
There he is. You know, Jack, I mentioned to Jack on Sunday. I was not here at the game on Saturday night, but I mentioned to him on Sunday. I said, man, people are acting like this team just got swept. It was one baseball game. The way that everyone thinks the whole series is over because they lost the first game. Look, it's not great that they lost the first game, but it certainly is not a death sentence unless they think it's one.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think you have to – the disappointments about them not coming through or folding previously, I think you got to let them go, because this year they've been the opposite of that. They really have. There have been so many moments, whether it's an injury, whether it's Bryce going out or Nola going out or Zach Wheeler going out, yeah, or Trey going out or getting swept in New York or whatever moment, yes, you want to point to say that those moments where we said, oh, uh-oh.
There they are.
Yeah, they've battled back. And yeah. I think they deserve our faith tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, this crowd is here early, so – they seem to be festive. I know that initial punch has sort of that impact on you where it startles you. It takes you aback a little bit. And that's what game one was. But I think and the Eagles actually just kicked us while we were down yesterday.
Yep.
But today is a new day. It's Monday, and this is an opportunity for us, our could be our last opportunity, to have an impact while watching this team play. So I think the crowd is coming here in the right mindset. Doesn't mean they don't need reassurance by having some good play early. The crowd was electrifying Saturday night. We were here, Fritz. It was great Saturday night.
When they got on Otani.
Yeah, when they went up 3-0, it was great.
Yep.
But then you knew it was still early in the game to go up 3-0, so you still had to hold that Dodgers lineup down for another 4 or 5 innings. Yeah, we just need the timely hits tonight. That's what we didn't get Saturday night. We didn't get the hits with runners in scoring position, and they got to do a better job of that tonight.
They need one of those, like a 3-run home run in the fifth. Just get this crowd to go into a frenzy. And I tell you what, I'm just – what?
Mookie that Betts, sign. So that, does Otani.
Yeah, the sign says Mookie Betts, so does Otani.
That's a good one.
That's a good sign.
Really high-quality sign.
That is
really
a good sign.
Really high-quality sign.
Yep.
So – and I got to be honest, and I guess his play is starting to equate to that. I feel like this is a really – kind of inflection point with people and Bryce. And I'm annoyed at how people are talking about Bryce, but ultimately he's got to go out there and get it done. I want a Bryce moment. A Bryce moment, need a Bryce moment, need a home run tonight.
I need one.
He got that hit late that almost helped the rally.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough. Nope. It wasn't enough.
But at least it was a hit.
Need three.
You guys were so relieved when he got that hit.
I was relieved.
Just showing up in the NLDS yet again. Yeah, that's what he does.
Well,
Mr. NLDS.
You know, and when we're talking about us as fans here, we cannot all season long talk about give that guy whatever money he wants, re-sign Schwarber, blah, 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 and then today show up and say, oh, they're dead. Because that guy's still on the team. We cannot all year long talk about how Bryce is, you know, Mr. October, and he shows up when the lights are brightest, and then show up and say, oh, series is over because we lost one game. None of that adds up, right?
Yep.
There's just sort of this fatalistic view of this team, and I think they have done more over the last 3 years to earn our trust.
At least the support that, listen, we go down swinging.
Yeah.
Literally.
Not every year was last year.
Right.
Only one year was last year.
It was only one year like that. Yeah. I totally agree.
Well, and listen, the Dodgers are really good. The Phillies could have easily won that game on Saturday.
On Saturday,
night.
Yes.
I didn't leave that game being like, oh, my God, what an unbeatable foe.
You really felt like we let one get away.
Yes.
Yeah. And
especially the way they looked against the Reds. They did not look at us. That game was not like one of those Reds
games.
The Dodgers are really good. This is a really good team, too. This is a really good team.
I was going to say, so are the Phillies.
Yeah,
Phillies are really good.
Answer the call tonight. Answer the call tonight. I can't wait to see Lizardo in front of this crowd. I think he's gonna put on a show.
Oh,
and
big Lizzo
and
10 Ks.
Otto Kemp.
Oh, it's gonna be
be a Kemp moment. There's gonna be a Kemp moment, Ike.
Nope.
Yeah, there is.
Well, I hope so.
+600.
It's a Bomer.
That's
night.
All it is. +600 for a home
I'm
run.
Riding the Bomer tonight.
Oh, really?
I need it.
I thought he looked pretty good.
He did. He looked
actually.
Good Saturday, but yeah. I need more.
Yeah.
I need more.
215-592-9494.
Let's go.
Whether you're on your way to the Phillies game, whether you're in the parking lot, whether you're at home, you're going to watch it at home. By the way, we need the energy at home, too.
Yeah.
I know you're not here, but the energy is everywhere. This is Philadelphia. Everyone's sitting in front of your television, whether you're at a bar watching the game, you're at Chickies, wherever you are. The energy is contagious. We need the we're going to win this game energy, whether you're in the stadium, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're at a bar. This is a go win this game. Go get it. Just what you said. Go win this game. That's all you got to do. You tell me winning this game is impossible? No. You tell me a split in L.A. is impossible? Absolutely not. And then we're back here for Game 5 on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Get your bootstraps on.
Yeah, come on. Yep. Man up.
Lieutenant Cantrell.
I know. Every time. He walks past every time. How was your viewing experience at home? Were you locked in on Saturday?
I was locked in.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was appreciative of my wife, who was very locked in. She was a big Phillies and Sixers person when we started dating.
Yeah.
And then I started working in sports, and she was like, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
But she is locked back in. It was a good viewing experience. But
I thought we had the Bader home run.
Yeah, I don't know how that ball wasn't 10 rows into the left field stand.
It died.
I jumped off my couch. I hurt my neck, actually.
Again.
I don't know how that was a home run.
You know Sosa being in the lineup tonight, he's bringing something.
Dude, oh, yeah.
I thought that was his moment when he pinch hit the other night.
He just missed that pitch.
Just missed it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
215-592-9494. Get to your calls right after I tell you a guy who's going to help you not just miss it. That is Adam Kasabi. He is going to be the realtor that is going to get you into a Shore House. You've been dreaming of one your whole life. Instead, you pay thousands of dollars to stay in other people's Shore Houses. That isn't how life should be. K-S-E-B-E. That's how you spell Adam Kasabi. He is out of Long and Foster in Bethany Beach. He can help you get your shore home at the Delaware beaches. And here's how you work it out. You're like, I can't afford that. Here's what happens. You buy the house. You end up renting it out for a good part of the summer. They pay your mortgage, then you have a place to spend summer weekends or summer weeks down with your family, with your friends in Delaware where the property taxes are low, the crowds are not quite as annoying as they are in Jersey where the property taxes are high. I say this all the time about Delaware too, that you want to go out to dinner, the restaurants at Delaware Beach is way better, whether it's Rehoboth or Lewis or Bethany, wherever you go. So when you've decided it's time, the guy that can get you into your shore house of your dreams, Adam Kasabi, K-S-E-B-E. This is his direct sell. It's in his pocket right now, 302-864-8643. You can call or text him or go to processrealtor.com. That is Adam Kasabi. There we go. Bruce in the Northeast. Oh, actually, no. I kind of wanted to go to Joe in Bensalem. Joe, you're on WIP.
What's going on, guys?
What's
all
up,
right,
Joe?
So I just want to get something short and out of the way.
Yeah.
Bryce, I need something from you tonight.
Yep.
You want to be the showman? You want to wear rivalry pack? You want to have a blue bat? Congratulations, by the way. But you need to show up tonight. Your team needs you. It is time to show up or shut up. Because you got the big dumper sitting there hitting big hits, Vladdy hitting big hits, but you're sitting on second, chucking it up with Mookie Betts. Go up,
yeah.
Show up. Your team needs you. It's time to do something. Phillies, get your butt together. You're turning into the Sixers territory right now if you lose this game.
No one
Their
wants
fans,
that.
Nope.
Spike,
I'm not putting
a shot at the Sixers.
No. I agree. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Nobody
I agree
wants
with you.
That.
Yep.
If they lose this game, they're going into that Sixers territory. Because too many times, that organization gave us empty promises and broken hearts.
Yep.
They're at home, and they've lost 1 out of 8 games at home in the playoffs. It's time to turn that around and show up. Go get a win tonight. Let's go. Go Phils.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, the Bryce thing with Mookie Betts on second.
Yeah.
Eh, wasn't great.
I was wondering how long that was going to take to be.
Well, look, you know, I can only be petty so many times with Bryce. I'll tell you this. If we were on the next day, probably would have been higher on my list.
I think so, yeah.
And the laughing and the putting your hand on his shoulder.
Well, Mookie's a lovable guy.
Yeah, everybody loves Mookie Betts. Maybe not. That situation, you know, chuckles out there on second base. Yeah, did you guys see that happening?
No, we didn't see it.
No, okay. No. Right. I didn't see it into the highlights, into these, you know, Twitter shows you everything.
Yes,
and they don't miss anything.
No. Bruce in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Locked in.
Is that a yes?
Yes. Well, we answered you.
I'm having a bad signal here. But I just want to tell you, I'm pulling into the lots now, and I came from the New York area, so I came from Mets country, and I think the Phillies sort of take for granted Red October. You know, I came from the Mets country. They were the best team in baseball in June and just completely collapsed, and so they are not enjoying any of this. So I know we lost the first game. I know we're really down. It was a tough weekend with the Eagles loss. But we shouldn't take this for granted. We have Red October. It's a long series. The Phillies, as Jack just said, will come back, and we should really enjoy this. It's great to have this atmosphere in Philadelphia at this time of the year.
I agree with you, Bruce.
And we can't take it for granted.
No. Shouldn't. No, absolutely not. And if we go down sad to the Dodgers, that means the Mets fans have the "you only played three more games than us" thing.
Yeah.
And I don't need that. We need to put a little more separation between the amount of games we played and the amount of games the Mets played. We need to get to the next round.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Bruce in D.C., you're on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Hi, Spike, Jackie Baseball. How's everybody doing this afternoon?
Locked in, Bruce. Locked in.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm locked in for that Phillies game. You know, I'm just doing a brain dump on the Eagles, man. Jack, I'm with you, man. Yeah, I'm just saying something about the Eagles, too. But I'm with you on the Phillies. We don't have time to be plant-based on the Phillies. I firmly believe we are the better team. If everyone does their job, you know, they do their job, then we're going to come out of here with a victory. And when they win game two, we'll be talking about how the Phillies have won both games, and look, we're just going to be ready to go, man. We just need to get fired up about this game. I'm not worried about them winning. They're going to handle their business.
Yeah, it's
too much.
You know, Bruce, it's not about being worried. It's about being confident. There's a difference, right? It's not
right.
We're not going to lose. It's we're going to win. This team, this has been the best home team in baseball this year. And this game is at home. It is a must-win game at home. Where else would you rather have it? And if you're not going to be confident here tonight, you're never going to be confident.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
I agree. And it's a must-win. And they will win. And we're going to be okay. And once we get that out of the way, we're going to be okay. But let me just say something about the Eagles, too, right quick. You hit the nail on the head between, what your points were. I was happy to see some of the plays that they made, but you know, I tell you, this communication thing, it's almost like shades of 2023. The fact that, Jalen is not talking. They showed a clip where he was just sitting on the sideline with his head down. He's not talking to anybody. AJ, they're not talking about the play. This is something that's really got me worried. And I tell you what, if they don't win this game on Thursday, then it's all hell is going to break loose. I just don't see where, I mean, as long as we got this OC in training, it's going to get us over the hump. We just need to see some major changes in the Eagles moving forward. But we're going to see what happens on Thursday and then go from there.
Hi,
yeah, I appreciate that call, Bruce. Here's the thing I'll say to those that focus in on Kevin Petullo as the issue. Well, Changing OC means Jalen gets another offensive coordinator.
Yeah, let's figure this guy out.
Like, yeah, it just means it's going to take us time to figure out the next offensive coordinator as well.
So I posted a thing about Mike McDaniel the other day, and
he's coming
Sunday. Well, people kept saying, "Well, he's going to be the new OC." Let me tell you this: if the receiver and the quarterback aren't talking to each other, they're not figuring out Mike McDaniel's offense. That ain't going to happen.
That's the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay offense, right? Yes. That's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it's look. They have the personnel here to do it. I refuse to believe. Look, I don't know that Kevin Petullo is going to be the greatest offensive coordinator of all time, but I just refuse to believe the guy that has been in the building for this long, that knows the personnel this well, that is that close to the head coach, that they can't figure that out. It is on everyone. And they do not have what they had last year to lean on. They don't have the most dominant offensive line in the league. They don't have the most dominant running back they've ever seen. But that does not mean that you cannot be. That's why you have a $30 million wide receiver on one side and a $30 million wide receiver on another side and a $50 million quarterback. You're not always going to have
$20 million running back.
Yeah, you're not
$10 million tight end.
Yeah, you're not always going to have the most dominant season from everybody all the time, but they have enough guys where they should be able to be better than they've been. I don't expect them to score 40 points every game, but I also don't expect the offense to be as inconsistent and just honestly difficult to watch as
well,
they've been.
I'll tell you what,
year.
Whatchamacallit, Detroit has a new OC. I don't know where that guy came from. Did he come from outside the building, or was he a part of their staff?
I think he used to be there, and they brought him back.
They brought him back. Is that the Johnny Morton guy?
Yeah.
They seem to be able to score points.
Man, 30 points in four straight games.
And he's not even some young buck.
Yeah, he's an older dude, so I don't know, man. And by the way, they have just as many mouths to feed.
Yes.
They got to feed Amara St. Brown. Jameson Williams, who's on my fantasy team, he ain't getting many touches. He's a boomer bust guy. They got Laporta, who's a pretty good tight end, right? He's a damn good tight end. And then you got not one running back. You got two running backs. They got to get the ball, too.
And I haven't heard one guy. I haven't seen one national story about one of those guys whining about
touches.
Not one. 2 years.
Yep.
All right, 215-592-9494. Now, Jack,
I'm complaining about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Couldn't get in the end zone yesterday. He was at a parlay. You scored 35 points. Do you really need to pass one to Brock Wright from your running back?
Try having Jameson Williams.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
So, Jack will have the top 5 at 5 next, and then we will have leading off. We are taking you all the way up to the Phillies game tonight. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.